This week on Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke, we spotlight guest Lou Rosselli from Redwood City, California. He loves hosting people in his home, especially now that he remodeled to make it spacious and light. Lou suffered a stroke in 2021. In his story, Lou shared specific strategies he now employs to try to brighten the outlook on life. His story is entitled, Lou, You Do Look Like Yourself. Thank you for joining us for part one, Lou Rosselli's story. Hello and welcome to Beyond Stillness. Stroke offers a powerful, life-changing shift in perspective. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. This radio show, Beyond Stillness, offers an hour of pause for storytelling and reflection. Ultimately, Beyond Stillness is a welcoming environment that reveres the moment beyond stroke's paralysis. Still moments unite humanity and divinity. I'm your host, Molly Bucola. Today, we welcome guest Lou Rosselli, a husband, father, brother, and friend to many. Lou lives in Redwood City, California. He is an avid San Francisco Giants, San Francisco 49ers, and Golden State Warriors fan. He has spent most of his life working in property management and loves hosting people at his home. Lou suffered a stroke in 2021. His story is entitled, Lou, You Do Look Like Yourself. Before we begin, we're going to take a moment of pause. Thinking of our own lives, our own bodies, as hosts, creating space for ourselves and for others to come on in, to be themselves, to gather, to inspire, to feel loved. Today, we think of our own lives as a way to create space for community, for joy, for laughter, also a space to hold those hard times. Today we give thanks for who we are as unique individuals and who we are as family members, as friends. We're also grateful for the experiences that we've gone through so that now we may use those experiences to support others. So Lou, I'll hand it over to you, and you can start by sharing your story.
Thank you so much. Mid-December 2021, I was presenting a meeting at work with our director of operations and the head of school. And Josie is our director of operations, and she happened to stop me at one point and said, Lou, you don't see yourself. I was puzzled because I felt fine. I wasn't slurring or anything. I took a break and went to the restroom to wash my hands. I remember looking at myself in the mirror. I felt and looked fine and was perplexed by Josie's comment. Soon my colleague, Joel, arrived and he had called my wife to inform her. My wife, Cheryl, advised him to drive me to the hospital. They probably took me to an infrared CT scan. I have a history of hypertension and stroke in my family. My father and grandfather had strokes when they were around 63. At this point, I was 65. They found that there was already damage to my frontal lobe and both hemispheres, but mostly on the right side. It kept me in the hospital for a week. When my doctor informed me I had a stroke, I was surprised because I didn't see any symptoms. After my father's stroke, he wasn't able to speak, walk, or feed himself. I was wondering if that was going to happen to me. Was I going to have another stroke? What is different about me? I didn't have the classic symptoms. I felt confused by the whole thing. After a week in the hospital, they administered tests and I passed with flying colors. I could stand, walk, balance, bathe, all of it. I was able to leave. Again, I wondered, was this really a stroke? Are people left extremely disabled? Then came the neuropsych test. The therapist asked me to move certain objects from one place to another. It was difficult, near impossible. She also read stories to me, and I wasn't able to quite follow. I failed the neuropsych test. It was to gauge my cognitive abilities and decision-making. I felt it was unfair. I had taken tests like this before and was fine, but I hadn't had a stroke before. I guess I was confused and in denial. My therapy doctors heavily suggested that I not return to work. In addition to that, they heavily suggested that I not drive as my peripheral vision wasn't up to par, according to the eye exams. In therapy, I began to match cards with two decks. So there was a bunch of children's games we played in therapy. For some reason, they were difficult for me. They were so hard, but I practiced a ton. I played the games at home and sometimes with friends and family. The more I play, the easier they become. I still do them today. I feel supported and challenged by my occupational therapists at Redwood City Kaiser. Some people say they don't like therapy, but I actually like to play cards with my family. It's quite difficult, but I can feel it helping with my neuroplasticity. I joined an occupational therapy program at San Jose State University, directed by Michelle Tipton Burton. I really wanted to drive again, and they have a driving simulator on campus, and my loved ones and therapists suggested that this would help. So, in order to use the simulator, I had to sign up for the whole program. When I showed up, I felt like the healthiest of them all. We were each assigned a master student who was studying occupational therapy. Actually, looking back, I'm glad I joined the program. I liked that I was able to work one-on-one with Esther, the master student assigned to me. I liked the communal aspect of the program, too. I gathered with others who suffered brain injuries, and we played games and worked on projects. I especially enjoyed the days we prepared food and cooked together. I'm Italian. It is in my blood to gather over food. Love to play pool, so I taught the others how to play pool in a student center. It was loads of fun. We came up with a variety of ways to make the game accessible for those who had different types of brain injuries. The program leaders knew that I'm a handyman sorts, so they sometimes asked me to help fix things, like the therapeutic bike. It's basically an adult bicycle or tricycle. I'm happy to help out in any ways I can. Throughout my life, I've helped people fix things. I have lots of experience remodeling homes, fixing gadgets, and helping people. I've always been the one that people talk with about their problems. I think it's important for me to be there for friends and family. One of the most difficult parts of this whole process is that all of a sudden I feel like I'm the vulnerable one. I'm not in denial, but the effects of these strokes are difficult to accept. I'm not totally debilitated, but anyway, I am. I feel more depressed and depleted than I had before. I'm stuck at home, unable to drive. Now I rely on people more than I ever would have wanted. I'm thankful that my sister serves as my driver, my daughter, and my son-in-law live next door and check in often. My son invited me to his house in Wyoming, so I was able to stay with him for a month. But really, all in all, I feel like my freedom is gone. At this point, I'm unable to work. I've been forced to apply for permanent disability. If I ponder that for too long, I find myself in a dark place. I recently signed up to meet weekly with a psychologist and started taking antidepressants. We will see how that helps. A lot of the recovery process is a waiting game. It's tough not knowing what's going to happen when. And I consider myself one of the lucky ones. I have lots of friends and family who are supportive and surround me with love and life. This is helpful, and I feel blessed by them. And I know that there is part of this recovery journey that I just need to do on my own. So how do I cope with that? I try to engage in activities I love. I love to play basketball. I find it invigorating to be outside and to move around. I can feel my brain working as I work on my physical coordination. I've reached a point where I can feel that my good brain cells have taken over where my bad brain cells don't work anymore. I always feel better after I get out and shoot some baskets. I need to remind myself of that feeling when I'm feeling down. I've also started walking more than I did before the stroke. I sometimes walk to and from my appointments at Kaiser, which is about a 45-minute walk each way. Again, it feels good to move my body. I also enjoy the fresh air and independence. I try to do some breathing exercises while I walk. I inhale through my nose as deeply as possible, hold for 5 seconds, and exhale through my compressed lips slowly, which also takes about 5 seconds. It's also important to focus on my breathing, and I feel much more relaxed. I take meds for the high blood pressure, but these breathing exercises really accelerate the positive trend for my blood pressure. It also eliminates a lot of stress. How else do I cope? I play music. I love to play music. I play the accordion and keyboards. I had to relearn the pieces. I relearned the rhythm and fingering. I guess to think more about structure of the song itself than I did before. Sometimes I get frustrated. Sometimes I struggle even in just placing the straps on my shoulders correctly. I get tangled and mixed up. And it's heavy. It weighs 35 pounds. Other times, I get the instrument unright and in playing fine. Then sometimes I speed up my tempo without realizing it. When I get frustrated, it's important for me to take a break, breathe, then get back at it. And that's not just with music. I find that when I get frustrated with anything, it's important for me to take a break, breathe, get back at it. I love the tradition of playing the accordion. I enjoy the communal aspect of it. I've been in the same band for 40 years. We play at Italian functions. I love being part of the Italian community. Our music brings back memories and offers joy to listeners. I'm thankful that I can contribute to the festivities in this way. That's another way I cope with my post-stroke life. I try to focus on ways I can contribute. My daughter is remodeling her house next door, and I offer my expertise. That's a big deal. It is important to me to be able to help out in whatever way I can. I have a lot of experience in construction, and I'm happy to assist the process in ways I can. Our home is a gathering place, and we are such a communal family. I've spent a lot of time remodeling this space over the years to make it feel spacious, light, and inviting. Life is about gathering, conversation, celebration, and joy. My wife and I love hosting. We love to entertain. This is another way that I continue to contribute. I try to make sure everyone feels at home and comfortable and heard. At one point after the stroke, I looked outside and decided that it was time to revamp the backyard to create a lively space there too. My wife and I accepted the challenge and worked on the project together. It used to have a desert look. Now it is a paradise oasis. I thought it was important to add more colorful flowers to make it feel inviting. Who wants to look outside and see drab? Instead, I planted flowers around the perimeter of the new lawn and have a specific place for vegetables, too. They are a perfect addition to the lemon and tree and lime trees that my father planted. There's a barbecue, a fire pit, outdoor furniture, I added a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It felt better for me to see things in order and aesthetically pleasing. The whole idea of presentation is important to me. It has becoming a sanctuary of sorts. I guess this is my hope moving forward, that like the remodel of my house, I hope that I'm now able to revamp the space within me. I hope to spend my time doing things that help me become more light and inviting. I'm sick of this desert look that has been withering my internal space. Now, I'm aiming to make it a paradise oasis. I'm devoting time, intention, and thought to ways I can beautify my internal life so that I can better host the world around me. I plan a basketball session here, an accordion practice there, and lighten things up with breathing exercises and walk throughout. There's even a specific internal place for me to be okay with the drab sometimes. But all in all, I'm working to redesign my life in a way that focuses on community, family, friends, while also allowing me to be me. When I take a break from this work, I hope that I can look at myself in the mirror and say, Lou, you do look like yourself.
Lou, you do look like yourself. Thank you, Lou.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Let's close with a moment of intention, a moment of pause, calling to mind the wisdom that Lou shared today. Never give up. When the going gets tough, and it does get tough, help us to take deep breaths, maybe even step away from the situation, allowing ourselves to see beauty in other things within our lives, maybe other people, other places, allowing our minds and our hearts to open in other areas before returning to that which was frustrating or challenging, so that then we may approach it with an open mind, an open heart, and a new way about us. And today we ask for an open mind, an open heart, and a sense of hope so that we can continue on our journey and overcome those challenges. Thank you for devoting time and space to listen to Part 1, Lou Rosselli's Story. Stick with us for Part 2, Lou Rosselli's Interview. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. In this episode of Beyond Stillness, guest Lou Rosselli from Redwood City, California, shared his story entitled, Lou, You Do Look Like Yourself. Lou offered specific strategies he employs to try to brighten his outlook on life. If you enjoyed this moment of pause for storytelling and reflection, please like, share, or subscribe to the Beyond Stillness Stories After Stroke podcast. Again, thanks for listening. And remember, as part of the stroke community, you are more than supportive. You are inspirational.
Part of the stroke community and have a story you'd like to share on the show, please contact us, email molly@beyondstillness.org.